Live.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. A very mixed week of interviews. We're going a lot of different directions on the program this week. And talking to R. Leon Noble today, who is the Libertarian Party candidate for governor of Oregon. Leon, thanks for being on with us.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
So I guess, first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself and Oregon's Libertarian Party.
Well, libertarians in general are pretty easy to figure out. Our mantra kind of sounds like we want to take over the world and leave everyone the heck alone. It's really kind of a simple concept organization where the main goal is not to hurt anybody. A lot of things that we do at the government level hurt people, and we want to get rid of those. As for myself, I was politically homeless for the majority of my adult life. The Libertarian Party just happens to be the only one that I've actually consciously joined. I believe that I was registered as an independent party voter for a few months because I thought that they were non-affiliated, you know, because the rest of the country calls non-affiliated voters independent. Once I learned the truth, though, I immediately left and changed my party affiliation to non-affiliated. I have only actually been a member of the party since this September of 2020, after I had a chance to listen to Spike Cohen, who was the vice presidential candidate for the Libertarian Party, roll through Eugene. I wasn't a member of the party, and I volunteered to go and help with the campaign stop, and was kind of the sacrificial target guy, the one who was openly carrying and kind of the full battle rattle type of thing where I was the primary target if something was going to happen. And I wasn't the only security guy there, but I was the only one you could readily identify.
So I'm curious what it was about what he had to say that drew your attention and drew you towards the Libertarian Party.
Well, see, that's the funny part. I don't remember exactly what he said. I just remember that I was nodding my head an awful lot every time he would say something. I would just kind of, my head would just start nodding up and down, and it got to the point where I was actually looking at, I hadn't actually looked at the platform until that point. In fact, if you want to go to look at the platform, that's lp.org. And I got to looking at it, and I'm going, I agree with most of this stuff. And then I went and looked at the other platforms, because like I said, I've not been a party member at all through my adult life until this moment in time. And I couldn't really put my finger on why. It just didn't sound like they represented me very well. And that was what the case was. So as I'm looking through and reading the platform that the Libertarian Party had, I'm going, oh, I do agree with that. Oh, I do agree with that. Oh, I do agree with that. Oh, well, I don't really agree with that, but the way they word it, I mean, I'm open to it, and I should do more and get more information about the stance. And, when push came to shove, it was like 99% of the stuff I agreed with. And it became just kind of this opportunity for growth, I guess I should say, where I didn't have to have 100% agreement, but I understood that the things were going to change, and they have. The biggest things that I didn't agree with, and it was just wording, kind of have left the party since then. So it's not even a question of, I'm reading it, and it's a evolving document as I'm reading it. So They hold a convention every 2 years, and they make changes to the bylaws and the platform and the people who are running it. And you're either part of that or you're mad and you go do something else.
So your background then is obviously kind of the opposite of most candidates, that you haven't been politically involved.
I have not. I have done a couple of, well, politically involved is probably not what I would call it. My dad was actually a board of directors with the Umatilla County Soil and Water Conservation District for a number of years. So I'm familiar with government and how it works to some extent. I'm also familiar with how effective it can be or ineffective it can be, depending on what's going on. I did a couple of write-in candidacies for the Soil and Water Conservation District here. The Soil and Water Conservation is something that I was brought up with. When Gordon Smith was a state senator, I would often come home and find him sitting on my ratty couch, speaking with my dad, because my dad was his advisor for environmental issues. So I would be able to participate in those conversations on occasion and give my input at the state level. That ended when he went to the U.S. Senate, but when he was in the state legislature, he was constantly at my house. I have done a couple of write-in candidacies, but for the most part, I have just done my best to avoid government interaction because they tell me I can't do things that I want to do that I should be able to do. One example would be when I moved to Oregon as a teenager. I grew up in Pendleton, and I found out as soon as I grew up, moved to Pendleton, that I was not going to be able to do my summer job as an entrepreneur mowing neighbors' lawns for money. Because if you use the public right-of-way in Pendleton, you had to have a business license. And that business license cost about the entire profit margin that I had ever made. I mean, I didn't make very much money doing it. I just made enough money to, you know, buy soda pop and candy bars at the store. So I quit doing that and did something else. But I always had a summer job. I don't ever remember not having a summer job.
I'm curious.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm curious about maybe the process to becoming the Libertarian Party's candidate for governor. Folks are fairly familiar with the Republican and Democratic methods and everything that goes into those aspects of the election cycle. For the Libertarians, what led to you being chosen as their candidate?
Well, we had a primary. The primary for minor parties can either be a convention or a primary. And the biggest difference is that the state pays for a major party's primary. So that's why it's such a big deal. Once you reach that major party status, the state is now putting you on the ballot, and you have to go with the major party rules. That's not a good thing, by the way. I'm just going to point that out. What it means is that your taxpayer dollars are being used to fund a primary for a party that does not represent you at all. It may be the one that represents you or that you feel represents you, but it also, you know, in my case, neither major party represents me at all. And so my taxpayer dollars are being spent to fund that effort. And I think the only way to fix that is to either get rid of the closed primary system and have everybody participate in the primary, or have only, you know, the parties only participate in their own primary and not have the state pay for that. Ideally, the state would not pay for a primary for a party anyway. Our primary ended on June 17th. Obviously, that's not the time frame that the state had for their primary. But because we are a third party candidate, we don't have to have the same schedule. We also had to pay for that out of pocket. And that's pretty expensive. That costs for you know, about a dollar a person to print and ship a ballot to them. Roughly, I don't know the exact numbers, but it was rather expensive. And there's 21,000 ish libertarians in the state. Actually, there's more than that. There's a lot more libertarians in the state. They just don't know they're libertarians yet. And I think that the moment that they went and looked at the platform and started nodding their head like I did, they would probably come join us. And that brings me to the old adage, well, if you're not a major party, you can't win. Right now, the biggest, largest party in Oregon is actually not a party. It's the non-affiliated voter. So that entire concept, I'm sorry, but if you believe that, you've been brainwashed. There's no way that you can put that in any other terms. It's been an over 160 year indoctrination process to get the public to believe that the only candidates that are viable are the ones that spend a lot of money and belong to either Republican or Democrat party.
So are you now officially on the ballot for the general election, or does more work remain?
I believe that all that has to happen is some paperwork has to be filed by the party, and I don't know what the status is on that. But I other than that, there is no work for me to get on the ballot.
All right, we're going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More with Leon Noble, Libertarian Party candidate for governor of Oregon. The interview a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1247 News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, Lars Larson at 1. Later today, it is True Wealth Radio. David Littlejohn, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. And on tomorrow's program, we're going to talk to one of the performers at the Cowboy Poetry Western Music Night for Riverbend Live on Friday. Andy Hedges will join us for tomorrow's segment. Leon Noble is the Libertarian candidate for governor of Oregon, joining us this afternoon. So what would the top issues be? What would the things you would be most focused on tackling if you're elected governor of Oregon?
Well, the first thing that I'm concerned about is our safety and security, because everything that's associated with safety and security is also associated with everything else in our state. If our people aren't safe and secure, they're probably not going to take the financial risks to build our economy. They're not going to be very thrilled about what's happening around them, and there's going to be a lot of discontent as a result. The second thing is the concept of liberty and equality. Liberty is you're born with liberty, and the role of government is supposed to be to protect that liberty, both from it taking from you and from others taking from you. And we've gotten away from that. We need to back, you know, roll back the clock a little bit and fix that problem that we have. As a result, our safety and security is at risk because of our liberty and our equality. Now, equality is not equity. That does not mean everybody gets the same result. It means that everybody gets the same start. So, the last thing that I'm very concerned about is our economy, because what we're seeing now, and a lot of this is controlled at the federal level and dealt with at the federal level, but we're seeing some issues with our economy. California is a good example. They're making a bunch of decisions that are affecting the economy of the rest of the nation, but they haven't put two and two together to see what that's actually going to do. And that kind of stuff is a concern for me, because a lot of that stuff is trying to be filtered up into Oregon, There was a couple of ballot initiatives. One was trying to ban the sale of diesel. That would effectively kill all transportation of goods in the state, because you really can't get across the state without purchasing diesel. And then there was another one that would actually have killed all food production in the state because of the way the loopholes would have worked. On that note, if you really are concerned about, because it's hard to put that into a short format like radio, if you want to know more about that, the setoregonfree.com is the way to get to that platform. You'll find that not only myself, but a few others there, and that they may or may not be in your area. And once you get there, you'll find that there's a lot of information involved, and I've made it so there's little chunks that you can bite off at a time, or you can go for the whole sandwich if that's what you want to do.
So talk about the state budget. What adjustments would you prioritize making?
Oh, that would be probably a quarter of what it is now. There's a lot of waste, and that's kind of the definition of government. We're spending a lot of money on things. I'm up here in Lincoln County. Up here in Lincoln County, we have a section of road at Beverly Beach that is on an active landslide, and what they do is they fill it with a few tons of asphalt and rock as the landslide shifts the road slightly more into the ocean. Instead of fixing the problem, they're actually adding more weight onto an active landslide and making the problem go a little faster. Last year, I was traveling over it, working a job in a dump truck, and for a week they held me up while I was traveling up and down that area, and the next week it was cracked again. So it literally wasted who knows how much money to do that. So we have to find ways to fix these problems that don't cost us large amounts of money. And that's the hardest part right there. We tend to throw money at things. Our homeless situation, our houseless situation, however you want to word that, is one of those examples. We're throwing money at a situation that isn't going to be fixed by throwing money at it. And for some reason, because government thinks that they can fix the problem, they're not understanding that government created the problem in the first place.
What about working with the legislature? How would you navigate things there?
Oh, that's the easy one. I'm going to veto everything that does not end with the last line being, "We refer this measure to the voters." There will be no more emergency clauses for anything. There is absolutely nothing that needs to be put into place that quickly. I'm backing a. You're going to see this in the next couple of years, but I'm backing a consequences plan for using emergency powers inappropriately. I've already put this out, but we ran out of time to do the things that we're doing, and because we're all busy, the Universal Safety Act. There's a civil asset forfeiture question that needs to be dealt with. There's a few different things that we're working on, not just myself, but as a group of people who are running for election. There's a number of things that we're working on to make life for Oregonians better.
So with all the folks running for governor, Democrat, Republican, non-affiliated, Constitution Party, now you, how do you cut through the field?
This is the year for the third party. At this point, the way I'm looking at it, and the data that I have, there is not a way for the major parties to win. Neither one of them can carry the state. They both have under a third of the vote, and it's a four-way race. And at this point, a four-way race. It might turn out to be a five-way race, but that only helps my odds because in a five-way race, 21% of the vote is what wins. In a three-way race, it's 34% because we're not a majority state. We're a top of the pile state. So if we have 18 people running, you cut the the field, you cut the number of voters into percentages of 18% at a time, and you add 1%. It's kind of a silly idea, but that's how it works, and it makes it so that third parties can in fact win. And so now you need to worry about simply voting for the one who represents you best.
All right, and real quickly, give folks a website or how they find out more about you.
SetOregonFree.com is the place to go. My campaign is being supported by the Set Oregon Free PAC. They are the ones that handle the access to my personal campaign website.
Out of time there, Leon Noble, candidate for governor of Oregon.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.